Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was reading just recently this last week, and as I was listening to a podcast where pastors go through the text for the coming Sunday, I heard something that I was quite astounded at. You know, a lot of times we put people into what we call communities. And if you take a look at the deaf community, that is the people that are deaf as a whole, 95% are not Christian. Only up to 5% of all people who are deaf are Christian. That means we have a huge mission field. It is terribly tragic not only not to be able to hear, but not to have Jesus. Think about that. 95%. And maybe it's because we emphasize so much the words of Paul, that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. But the fact is that hearing can happen in multiple ways. Yes, the word can be proclaimed like it is for you today. But as we see in our gospel lesson today, we also have a form of sign language. Jesus understands what it is that this man cannot hear his voice. And we, as hearing people, know just how important it is to hear the voice of Jesus, to hear his word preached and proclaimed to us. And so Jesus does something that this man can understand. He points to the things that are not working. He says, these right here, these that I'm sticking my fingers into your ears, they don't work. He grabs the man's tongue. Consider that, what he's doing. And he says, this doesn't work. But then he looks up to heaven, as if to say, I have come from heaven. I pray to my Father in heaven that these may now work. Because by the word, by my very being, I have come to save you. Jesus is the word come down from heaven. Not only the bread from heaven, but the very word taken on human flesh. And he has come to make creation right. When he created all things, everything could hear, everything could see, everything could do all of those things. But because of Adam's fall, sin crept into the world, and it caused all these things to fail. But Jesus has come to make them right. And that's exactly what he does. Think about the fact that the first thing that this man then gets to hear is the word of Jesus. That he gets to see this man before him who has healed him, and then he gets to use a tongue that no longer worked properly to praise his holy name. And it's true that Jesus told them to say nothing, and yet they couldn't control themselves. They went out everywhere to say what he has done. But that's because the miracles are really secondary. Jesus' main focus by coming to earth was to preach his gospel, the gospel, the only salvation. To preach that he has come to set sinners free, not from deafness, not from muteness, but from their sin, from their slavery. But he has also come to make both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Now, it's true that not everyone here has the best of hearing, right? And ladies, you can probably attest to that a little bit more about your husbands, or maybe as parents about your children. But the fact is that we might be a hearing people, but spiritually too often we become deaf. And that's because we are bombarded left and right by the lies of the devil in this world. Think about 24-hour news cycle. You are bombarded with fake news. You are bombarded with lie after lie after lie sent by the father of lies to get you to disbelieve the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have been taught that you should somehow be afraid of a disease even though God has given you a pretty easy cure, and that is monogamy within the bonds of holy matrimony. You are bombarded left and right with fear to preach the gospel. And I don't mean to get up in the pulpit. What I mean is to tell other people. You have been told a lie, and you have been conditioned that there are two things that you are never allowed to talk about: politics and religion. And honestly, I care much less about you talking about politics than I do about you talking about your religion. Because at the end of the day, your religion, your faith that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and the sins of the world, and that only his death and his resurrection can save, is the most important thing that you can ever tell another soul. It is the only thing that can save. Not healing hearing, not healing muteness, but healing the soul, healing sin. That is the most important thing that you could ever possibly do. Yes, our world, ruled by its prince, the father of lies, tells you never to speak about it. It tells you you are only allowed to have your faith in the walls of your church for an hour on Sunday morning, or in the walls of your home when you pray before you go to sleep or pray before a meal. But you are never, ever, ever allowed to exercise it. You are never, ever allowed to allow your faith in Jesus to somehow dictate the way that you live day in and day out. How it impacts your relationship with your children, with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers. How it impacts the way you believe about what God's word says. You see, the thing is that our world tells you all sorts of lies. And the more lies that you listen to, the more you're going to believe it. And the more you believe those lies, the more you're going to become spiritually deaf. Deaf to the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our King, and we are to submit to him completely, body and soul. We are to allow him to dictate everything that we do in our lives, not just for the hour plus on Sunday morning, not just for the time that we actually do get to spend with our children in our homes, but every hour of every day. God dictates the way we live. But the world will have you believe all those lies. The world will have you believe that it's somehow okay to go around and use crystals or read your horoscope and actually believe that astrology is a thing. Or do yoga as though it's not some Eastern religion stuff that has nothing to do with Christianity. The world makes you think that you can do all of those things but then on Sunday morning still be a Christian. It's not true. The world would have you believe that it's okay to use the name Jesus Christ left and right. Lord knows that they use it left and right, all of their movies, all of their television shows, and on the radio. I can't go a single day without hearing Jesus Christ incorrectly used or taking God's name in vain. It is used left and right, even though we know God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," or not to misuse it. Even though God's word says, "You shall have no other gods." The world doesn't want us to think that way. The world would have you believe that you don't need church, that you don't actually need to gather for worship with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The world would have you believe that you can simply do church through a screen, that you can simply worship that way and be exactly the same, even though you cannot receive the Lord's body and blood through a screen. You need to gather. Why? Because God commands it. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy means to gather. It means not just coming when you receive a letter in the mail from your church. It means gathering because you desire to be where God's word is proclaimed. You desire to hear that your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ. You need to hear those things. You need to hear them so that you may feel comfort, because this world cannot comfort you. The comfort that the world tries to give you will die, it will decay, but the word of Jesus Christ will never die, it will never decay. You need to gather. It is absolutely essential for your soul and for your body. The world tells you one of two things. Either A, you don't need to listen to anyone in authority, or B, you must absolutely listen to the authority, even when they go against the word of God. So that when the government were to come along and say, you know what, you shouldn't go to church right now because it's not safe, we somehow think, hey, God would want me to listen to the government in that position. God would not want you to. God would want you to listen to him. And he says, come and receive my gifts. Yes, we obey the governing authorities insofar as they do not go against that. And our Christian consciences are informed by this, by the word of God. You cannot know how to properly live without being in his word day in and day out. The world would have you believe the lie that children in the womb are somehow not real. That they are not actually babies. And therefore, it is a woman's right to do so as she pleases with that baby that God has knit together in her womb. And yet God's word says what? You shall not murder. Why do we defend life from the womb to the natural grave? Why would we also stand up and say we should not use euthanasia? We should not do assisted suicide? And why would we stand up and defend life all that way? Because we know that life is a precious gift of God. The world convinces you as parents not to get involved in your children's lives, especially when they're adults. They would have you believe that it's okay to live together outside of marriage. And they would tell you as parents not to tell your children otherwise. That when your children are living in sin, and you know that it's sin because the Bible dictates that, that you are to say nothing. But what is truly more loving? Telling them the truth to try to save their soul, or simply trying to get along? It's the truth. You desire your children for eternity. You desire them to step outside of the sins that plague them. You desire what God desires, and that is holy matrimony. You shall not commit adultery. The Lord desires that you are content with what he gives you. But the world wants you to believe that you need more, more, more. The world would have you believe that children are an inconvenience that keeps you from the true joys of this world. And that's stuff. God is the author of life. He gives all things that are necessary. He gives you everything that you need to support this body and life. We can be content with what God has given us. In fact, we can find joy in what God has given us. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. The world would have you believe all these lies, and it would have you share these lies. The world wants you to gossip. The world wants you to be divided in the church. Because if the church can be divided, the devil can pick you off one by one. But when the church is united around the word of God, around the doctrines found therein, in the history of that dogma, the church is standing on solid ground, the solid ground of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot have you. You belong to him. And so the gossip that happens left and right, the lies, the half-truths, the causing of division is not from God. It's from the devil. Repent. And when someone is trying to spew these things at you, say, enough. I don't want to hear it. And if you have a problem with someone, go and talk to them. It's that simple. You shall not give false witness, bear false testimony. The lies of the world fill you left and right. The devil tries to put earplugs in your ears so that when the word of God comes, you can't hear it. Ephphatha, be opened. Let your ears be open to the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, the more you read the word of God, the more you inwardly digest the word of God, the more the word of God will come out of your mouth. Too often, laymen are afraid to tell the gospel to others. They somehow think that they're not equipped to do it. But the fact is, the more you stand on the word of God, the more your ears are open to it, the more loosed your tongue will become. The more loosed your tongue will become to proclaim the word that you know by heart from the scriptures. That you can give a defense. Why do we have to say these things when the world's mantra, the world's model right now, its creed, if you will, is two words, be kind. And while on the outside it looks good, right? Who doesn't want you to be kind? Of course we want you to be kind. But they're using that to shut you up. I hope that you realize that that is exactly what the world is using that to do. Because the second you say anything that is out of line what they believe, they will say, you're not being kind. You're not being like Jesus because Jesus was a nice guy. Well, Jesus was a good man. And that meant proclaiming the truth. This last week in our devotions at home, I read these words from Ezekiel and I want to share them with you today. These words, Ezekiel chapter 3. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, but you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. So what does that exactly mean? That means if you know what God's word has to say about something, and you simply say nothing to the person that is doing those things, God says you are also guilty. It is much better to proclaim the word of God in love and in truth than it is to be cast into the guilty pile just because you wanted to be nice. Be good. Be loving. And remember that the loving thing to do is to guide someone away from the cliff, to guide someone away from the pit of hell. To say, dear brother, dear sister, come, follow me. Follow me to the truth. Follow me to the word of Jesus that can save your ever-living soul. Consider these words from St. Paul. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. I can stand up here and say these things because the Holy Spirit has declared them. And that means that you can say them too. That means you can be faithful to the truth, even in the midst of the world that wants you to share in its lies. Because Jesus is the only salvation. Jesus is the only truth. Jesus is the only way. And Jesus is the only life. The church sings. For as a tender father has pity on his children here, God in his arms will gather all who are in his childlike fear. He knows how frail our powers, who but from dust are made. We flourish like the flowers, and even so we fade. The wind but through them passes, and all their bloom is o'er. We wither like the grasses, our place knows us no more. His grace remains forever, and children's children yet shall prove that God forsakes them never, who in true fear shall seek his love. In heaven is fixed his dwelling, his rule is over all, O host with might excelling, with praises before him fall. Praise him forever reigning, all you who hear his word, our life and all sustaining, my soul, O praise the Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.